Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you quiet our voices and through your Holy Spirit speak through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's topic or question is, why do evil things happen? First of all, I think before we can answer that question or begin to answer it, we need to talk about the definition of evil. So this is your chance for participation, and I'd like you to speak loudly because I've got somewhat of a sinus infection, so my ears are not working as well as they should be. But what is evil, if you had to define it? Say it again. Somebody who hates God, okay. What else for evil? Lack of empathy? Anybody else? Unkind act. Say it again.
Unkind act.
An unkind act. Okay. Where was that one?
Bad guys.
Bad guys. Okay. Well, let me tell you, I did a little research, and I looked in Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible, which has about 100 theologians that had contributed to it. And they say writers in the New Testament, as in the Old Testament, describe evil primarily as moral corruption and a violation of God's laws. In his teachings, Jesus makes a clear distinction between evil and good, and he describes his opponents, notably the Pharisees, as an evil and adulterous generation. Evil originates in the heart and describes a person's actions, thoughts, and speech. So I think that's a pretty good definition. So in Genesis 2, a little before our reading today, I'd like to read you Genesis 2, 16 through 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So what happened when Adam and Eve decided to eat from this tree? Well, maybe they did it because they didn't really understand God's command. Maybe they did it because as human beings, we all have free will. We all have the choice of doing the right thing or making the wrong decision. So what happened when Adam and Eve did this? Well, they broke their relationship with God. They rebelled against God, and they decided, actually, whenever we sin, what we actually do is we make ourselves God. We decide. So how did this happen? Well, let me read this to you. God said, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And what this really shows us is how evil is very toxic. It spreads like toxic waste. Now, as an advanced master gardener, I am convinced that the Garden of Eden was perfect. It was full of flowers and bushes and trees. But evil even affected the environment. I am certain that's why we have weeds nowadays. So going back to today's question, rather than focusing on the why do evil things happen, I think the important thing is to focus on listening to God and saying, "What would you have me do now?" We know that God does not cause evil, but we know that God has his hand in all of our lives, and that he will use evil for good. So I'd like to talk about another story in the Bible, and this one's about Joseph. And this is not Joseph who married Mary, the son of Jesus. This is Joseph, and I'm sure Jane will be excited about this. This is Joseph of the multicolored coat. And if you remember, he had a dream. And in this dream, his brothers and father were bowing down to him. And you can imagine what this did. His brothers got very angry. And so they decided to take him on a little trip. And what they did was they threw him down a pit, probably an empty well, and threw him down so that he would die. But his brothers had a good eye and ear for business. And in the distance, they saw a caravan coming. And it happened to be Potiphar. Potiphar was a wealthy man. And so they decided, rather than just kill our brother, why don't we sell him into slavery? So that's what they did. So this is one of the pits of evil that Joseph went through. He was sold as a slave. But then Potiphar saw that Joseph had a keen mind and that he was a godly man. And so he put him in charge of his whole household, which was the way God used Joseph. Unfortunately, Potiphar's wife was kind of an evil gal. And let me read this. This is out of chapter 39, verse 6, the second half, and 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." So Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to come to bed with her. But Joseph, being a God-fearing and upright man, decided to bolt. But she held on to his cloak and pulled his cloak off, and he ran. And when Potiphar returned home, she brought the cloak out of her bedroom and said, "See what your servant Joseph has done? You know, he tried to take advantage of me." So Potiphar, being a good husband, threw Joseph in the dungeon. So this is another pit of evil. And while he was in the dungeon, if you remember the story, there was a cupbearer and a baker, and they both had dreams, and they knew that Joseph, through God, would be able to interpret these dreams. And so he did. And after he interpreted the dreams, he said, "If you get out of the dungeon, make sure you don't forget about me." Well, they did get out of the dungeon, and of course, the baker got his head cut off, but the cupbearer got his position back. The cupbearer completely forgot about Joseph until about 2 years later. Pharaoh had a dream, and he said, "Gee, I wish somebody could tell me what this dream means." And right then, the cupbearer said, "Wait a minute, there's a guy in the dungeon, Joseph, who knows how to interpret dreams." So Pharaoh brought Joseph out of the dungeon, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh's dream basically was interpreted as Egypt was going to have 7 good years of crop bearing and then 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Well, what should I do?" And so Joseph gave him a plan of building barns to store the grain and then doling it out to the inhabitants of Egypt over the 7 barren years. So Pharaoh was so taken by Joseph's interpretation and his plan for this dream that what he did was he put him second in charge of Egypt, put a special ring on his finger, put a cloak on him. And so the reason I wanted to go through this story is to remind you that maybe we shouldn't focus so much on the why evil happens, but focus on instead, God, what would you have me do now? Now, some of you who came to the rummage sale and who have been at worship the last few weeks, you have noticed that there's been a young Indian girl who's been here. Her name is Brenda. And Brenda worked at the rummage sale, got to know the treasure chest ladies. And Brenda is a devout follower of Jesus Christ and comes to Converge on a weekly basis. She, about 6 months ago, she got a job in California. But even though she was living out in California, she made monthly electronic contributions to Converge to keep that program going. Well, just recently, she came back to Michigan because she was trying to work on a problem that the university made in her status. And so I interviewed her, and she and I were going to do part of this sermon together today. Unfortunately, she had to go back to California. So I've invited, and you two can come up, I invited two of her best friends, Jennifer and Deva, to somewhat tell her story. So we're going to do this in a kind of a question and answer type format. So first of all, thank you both for doing this. I really appreciate it. I'm going to tell the congregation a little bit about Brenda. Brenda, as an undergrad back in the year 2012, was going to university, and she was befriended by some senior girls. Now, these girls were of a very low caste system. They were relatively poor, but there was just something about them that made Brenda feel really good. They were really welcoming. They were helpful to her. They were just great. And Brenda noticed that every Sunday, the girls would dress in all white, and they would go off to church. And one day, one of the girls asked Brenda, would you like to come with us? And Brenda just felt something, she told me, that propelled her to go to church with the girls. And so she did. And after attending for a number of weeks, Brenda really felt God's presence in her life and decided that she wanted to be a follower of Jesus. She was brought up Hindu. And so she was baptized. And Brenda told me that after she had her undergrad program done, she wanted to go to graduate school. And both of you were attendees at VIT, correct?
Yes.
That's a very prestigious university in India. And Brenda, even though she applied to VIT, she felt she had no chance at all to get in. And so she went to the interview process, which was with a number of students. And her father even attended with her to try to motivate her and give her a little support. And Brenda was sure that she was not going to get in. So, Deva, I can't remember, were you in the group that Brenda was interviewed?
Yes.
Yeah, seem to remember you saying that. So what Brenda did, the Holy Spirit told her to keep quiet, not to answer any questions, but to listen how everybody else answered the various questions. And that's what she did. And lo and behold, she answered some of the questions in the interview. They thought very highly of her, and she was admitted to VIT. So my first question I'm going to ask Jennifer. Jennifer, Brenda had two recent situations that caused her pain and suffering. And we can consider this evil moving into her life. Can you share a little bit about both of those situations?
Sure, Pastor. Are you able to hear me? Okay. So her first situation was, so after graduating from U of M Dearborn, she wasn't able to get a job for 6 months. And that was a very desperate situation for her because she had a certain time period before which she has to find a job. And also all her friends like myself and Deva, we were all employed already. So she that was a very bad situation for her. But she was able to find a job after 6 months. That was really good. But her most recent situation was she got a letter from the immigration department saying that her course program classification, her degree classification, does not allow her to stay in the U.S. for more than 12 months and be employed here. So basically her employment authorization was seized, and the letter also stated her to go back to her home country because her employment authorization was over. But this error, the program classification error that was from the U of M Dearborn, because the degree program code that was entered on her paperwork was wrong, and that was a clerical error from the university. But still her program was actually eligible for her to work, stay here and work for more than 2-3 years. And as a result, now she has to be deported. She has to go back to her home, and the university just said her case cannot be reopened. It is closed by the government.
Right, right. And I understand that Brenda went back to California to gather her things, and she has had legal consultation, and her lawyer told her it would be better for her to return to India on her own than to wait until she was deported. That way she has a better chance of coming back somewhere in the future. The next question I have is to Deva, and I was just kind of chuckling because I see Deva with his cell phone, much like I see Pastor Chris many times on Sunday with some of his notes on it, and I just wish I could get into electronics rather than using paper. But Deva, how do you think that these two situations did or could have tempted Brenda to act in a sinful way?
Yeah, in the first situation, like during the time she didn't have a job, and she mentioned that like she was relying more on like other people rather than like relying on Jesus. So she mentioned that was her like worst mistake, and also like during that time like she was very angry, and especially like lashing out her parents and not talking with her friends. So she mentioned like that was her mistakes. And the second situation, like she was like very, she didn't know that like that mistake was made by a university. She initially thought like it was somehow happened. And when she received that letter, like she was like a very, she was very panic and she was very angry, like, oh, why did this happen to me? And she was asking a question. Then after that, like she told us, like go and meet like an international office, and you and myself, Jennifer, went to meet like an international office, and then we somehow found that like that mistake was made by like a university, and the second day, like she flew from like a California and met with international office, and I think you went with her. And you, Pastor Mike mentioned that like she was very calm because during that time, like she realized that that was not her mistake, that is university mistake. Like it's natural that if we didn't make like any mistake, we usually like get angry with that. But that time she didn't have like a much angry with them. She was talking quietly on how to solve the problem.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And we all have different personalities. We know that. And Brenda tends to be a very emotional person. So I was really expecting her to kind of explode and show her anger when she met with the various people at the university. Now, Dava and I are very similar in our personalities. We're pretty quiet and laid back, kind of introverts. Jennifer, on the other hand, is more like a pit bull, because when we met, she immediately started, her voice got loud, and she was showing some anger, but Brenda just kind of calmed all of us down, had us all be quiet, and she spoke, and she did a really good job. Now, Brenda, Jennifer, I have another question about Brenda for you. Did Brenda give in to sin in these two situations?
In the first situation, yes, because she was very depressed and angry because she had no job and her stay was becoming a problem, her expenses and everything was becoming a problem. She couldn't meet her expenses. So she wouldn't talk to anyone of us. She isolated herself. She wouldn't pick up the call even if we call her. And so, yeah, so she kind of isolated herself because she was dealing with that. And I remember her saying once that her faith in God at that point of time was the shakiest in all her lifetime because her future was uncertain. So that was the period when she did not have a job. But in this deportation situation, it was so surprising to see how Brenda was calm and composed, and she just surrendered the situation in the hands of the Lord. I remember calling her when I got the news that she got a letter from the immigration department telling her that her case is closed. I called her and she was so calm, and the first thing that came out of her mouth was, "If this is God's will, let it happen." I mean, I wouldn't imagine anyone telling that because her future is uncertain now, right now. So that was really surprising and an encouragement and a reminder from a follower of Jesus Christ that in any situation, we need to surrender it in the hands of the Lord because it is from Him. Whatever happens, let Him take the decision, let Him guide it. So it was just a witness as a believer that she gave all of us. And she concentrated all her strength and mind and efforts on gathering the paperwork, contacting the right attorney and analyzing the situation and talking to many people about how to take this forward. So that was an excellent testimony from her to many of us, reminding how we need to let God take over the situation and not just rely on our own understanding. Yeah, and but even though she knows there is only 10% chance for the government to reconsider her case, She didn't, desire to stay here or just to push the situation, but just to let God handle and ask God what's next, rather than asking why, God, why.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. Thank you. And Dava, in what ways do you think that Brenda felt that God controlled the outcome of this situation?
In the lack of job situation, like, Brenda realized that the prayer was the answer. And like God Himself told her to rely on like Jesus rather than like other people. And during that time, like, she was applied for like many jobs, but even though she did perform well and she didn't get the job, but like God closed like all the doors, but God opened like only one door, and she realized that was the one like God wanted her to have that job. So, and that job is really good. Actually, that employer helped during this situation, and they provided their company attorney to Brenda's case, and like they also offered a job. Like, if she goes back to India, she can work for their company. They have a company in India also. So, God gave like a good good employer for her. So in that way, like, God controlled the outcome. And the second situation, when she received that letter, like, she was like very temper, like, she was very panic. She didn't know, like, what to do next. And like during that situation, like, God gave like peacefulness, like, made her to be very calm. And she decided, like, whatever the God plans, like, she will follow that. If the God wants her to back to United States after 1 or 2 years, that's okay. If the future would be in, like, India, that's fine for her. So that's, yeah.
Okay, thank you, yeah. Thank you. So, Deva, you had mentioned a little bit of the good news, but while Deva and I were practicing at his apartment going through this message, Deva got a phone call. And while I was talking to one of his roommates, he went outside and took the phone call and then came back in. So do you want to tell us a little bit of that good news that Brinda got?
Yeah. Brinda was worrying a lot about, like, how to get a job in India, because she needs to prepare again and she needs to spend, like, more time for that. And, like, she was, like, preparing resume and all kinds of stuff. Like, when she went to, like, California and met a employer, and the employer told that you can work for my company in India also. So, like, we will apply for, like, a work visa next year. We will try to bring back to United States again. So usually, like, most employers don't do that, but her employer is doing in that way, like, she's great. Yeah.
So I think you had mentioned to me that there's a possibility of her coming back maybe as early as April or...
Yeah. Usually, like, each year, like, we can apply for work authorization for, like, United States. So usually that time her employer would apply for, like, a work visa. If she get, like, she can come back. So it's kind of like lottery basis they will take. Yeah.
Right. Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, before I let you two go back to your seat, I just want to applaud the growth I've seen in both of you. And actually, we have Harsh out there, and I believe we have Levin back there. I can't see quite that far. But just to see the growth in all of these international young adults since they've been here in the U.S. spiritually is just overwhelming. So thank you so much, guys. So I'm going to leave you with when some evil happens to you, don't dwell on the why part of it, because you may never get an answer. But listen instead for that small, thin voice of God telling you what's next. Amen.